Radio.com sports station.
Let's do this.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people.
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning, I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath. Chuck Freeman will be here again on Monday. 36 holes for Freems yesterday. If you're his Facebook friend, you saw it. If not, and you want to see pictures of a sweaty guy you listen to in the morning, go find Chuck Freeman on Facebook and give him a old friend request. Bucks may be making a new friend. Big move yesterday for the Bucks. Cam Johnson signs a two-way deal. Cam Reynolds, rather.
I was getting excited there. He got released already?
Cam Johnson got drafted.
Best shooter in the draft.
Cam Reynolds. I don't know anything about Cam Reynolds. I guess he played at where?
Cam Reynolds. I actually don't know who the hell Cam Reynolds is.
Cameron Reynolds, forward, played at Tulane. He was with the Stockton Kings of the G League and then the T-Wolves.
Cam Reynolds, born February 7th, 1995, 24 years old, born in Pearland, Texas, 6'8", played for
Cam
Tulane.
Cam Reynolds, 6'8", 225, played with the Stockton Kings.
Quick first step to the basket, struggles defensively, also his weak side rebounding a bit of an issue.
But he's a rim protector. He's a good rim protector.
Okay, horses.
The Bucks. Sure, they got a guy on a two-way deal. What was more sort of polarizing was that J.R. Smith was in town as first spotted at the airport by a guy on Twitter. Shams eventually confirming that, yes, there's a meeting between J.R. Smith and the Milwaukee Bucks, and then he was spotted later at a Cobb's Custard after he had met with the Bucks. And Bucks fans very polarized over J.R. Smith yesterday, at least the ones that I interacted with online. And kudos to you guys that root and love and adore the Bucks. And for a second here, I'd like to speak to the people that don't feel like they're a part of Bucks Twitter, so to speak. Bucks Twitter is something that every team's got a bunch of people that follow them. And then if you're a fan of the Bucks or the Packers or the Brewers and you're on Twitter, you find who the followers are. You find who the good follows are. And then they start interacting with other guys. So you follow them. And then suddenly you're within this community where you can participate if you'd like, or you can just watch it. And each team has their own little Twitter. If you want to say Philly's Twitter, I'm sure there's like 30 guys that could be, oh, every Philly fan on Twitter knows these guys.
They all hate Bryce Harper.
And Bucks Twitter is the same way. Bucks Twitter also loves to argue. Bucks fans love to be riled up about something. And so kudos, now I'll talk to the Bucks fans again. Kudos to you guys. The same sort of passion and vitriol and animosity and how you're willing to go like to debate camp to hone your skills, the same sort of energy that you bring into, is Chris Middleton a true number two? Does Giannis have the right number two next to him? The fights over Chris Middleton, which have been then on our air over the last 5 years, back and forth, Chris Middleton. That same sort of energy, Bucks fans are able to take that, divert it to any other thing. Thanasis being on the team with the same energy as who your number two is. J.R. Smith, who is in town, has won an NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Has shot 50% in an NBA Finals. Is kind of known as an idiot. Threw soup at a guy. Screwed up game one of the NBA Finals when he didn't know how much time was left. Has done some really dumb things. Who will be, if the Bucks sign him, the 14th guy on the bench. The same vitriol and emotion that you pour into the Middleton argument, you are able to pour into who the 14th guy on the bench is going to be. It truly is remarkable and a sign of just how passionate Bucks fans are in the state of Wisconsin. And to J.R. Smith, to the ones that want him here, to the ones that don't, I will pick my side right now. I want to see the Bucks sign J.R. Smith.
I wish I had an opposite opinion of you, but I agree. Why would you not want J.R. Smith?
Nah, yeah, okay. If somebody, he would have to sign a minimum deal because that's all the Bucks have left.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would rather sign Kyle Korver or something,
that's fine.
Yeah, do that instead. Or if you'd rather sign somebody else,
Jamal Crawford, he's 50, but he can still get buckets.
That's fine. But where I look at it, this Bucks season is going to be incredibly boring. It is going to be a long, boring regular season.
Because it's going to be the same as last year where you win 50-plus games and there's really not much controversy because everybody gets along? Or
yeah.
Is that where you're going on that?
Everyone's going to get along. The Bucks, you're going to say, why aren't we on national TV? Why aren't the shows talking about us? We've got the best record in the East. Well, because there's all these new duos and there's all these other conflicts and there's all this other drama. Gotcha. The Bucks are not going to get the national attention. Well, the Bucks are beating the Pistons and the Hornets and the Heat and the Magic by 20 games. People should talk about us. But again, they're beating the Pistons and the Hornets. And then it's going to be a boring season in a good way. It's going to be boring, just like this regular season was boring to some, to me. Because the true season for the Bucks is not going to start until the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, maybe not even to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And I would argue that this season for you then might be more boring because last year was an unexpected 60 wins. So while it was like, okay, yeah, we beat the Pistons by 25, awesome, just get me to the playoffs right now. Next year is going to be even worse because you might see more load management. Maybe they don't want to go out and win 60 and burn themselves out.
Yeah.
Because then you get to the conference finals and Giannis is tired.
Giannis is going to sit more. Middleton's going to have load management.
He's going to have to this year.
Pat Connaughton's going to be load managed. So these games are going to be slogs.
Right.
They're going to be boring. You're going to be watching. There's going to be nothing on but Bucks on a Tuesday night where they've got to go down to Memphis. And you're going to say, oh, at least I can watch Morant. And he's not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you watching? You're watching Bonzi Colson and Tim Frazier again. You're watching that kind of stuff. So for the fact that it will make the season more interesting and J.R. Smith will be on the team, yes, I fully endorse J.R. Smith being a Buck to raise my interest in the regular season. That's the take.
I guess I could kind of see it both ways. I can see why most fans wouldn't want J.R. Smith, to tell you the truth, because there's this knock on him that he's not good for your locker room. But if you think about it, all of his teammates love him. There was the summer after they won the NBA title in Cleveland where he just walked around with no shirt the entire summer. He was loved in the community and he was loved in the locker room. Now him and LeBron James may have had a falling out because he forgot what the score was and forgot how much time was on the clock.
Huge mistake.
Game one of the NBA Finals, a final series that you end up ultimately losing. You take game one, that's a whole new series maybe. I mean, obviously, I still think Golden State wins that series and wins the finals with Kevin Durant. But that's really the only thing. I don't think he's a bad locker room guy, and he's a career 37% shooter from three-point land.
Also,
last year, a career low at 30. But still, I mean, he's a guy that could go out and get you buckets, even at his old age. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think there's a lot worse you could have than J.R. Smith. Now, I'd rather have Kyle Korver.
Yeah,
I'd rather
have
50-year-old Jamal Crawford. But
yeah,
if those
right.
guys aren't available, I don't want to see Cam. What did we decide his last name was?
Reynolds.
Cam Reynolds. I don't want him getting garbage time minutes when I can watch J.R. Smith go out there and chuck up threes. He's at least a character. You need a character on your team.
This season's going to be boring.
I wanted to say that.
It's going to be boring.
We shouldn't say that because that's when I had high expectations and Giannis ends up playing point guard and Jabari goes down and you're missing the playoffs after I was like, oh, here it is. There's the next step for the Bucks.
Look,
like,
we're talking.
That's every time I say something's going to be boring, that's what's happening.
We're talking about who the 14th guy on the roster could be. I mean, you're not going to sign J.R. Smith for the NBA Finals.
Anytime I go into a season saying, you know, just get to the playoffs, then something bad happens. So I'm just going to, I'm not going to say it's going to be.
Okay, bad. No, I hear what you're saying there. But Giannis's brother is not good. He maybe shouldn't be on this team.
How do we know he's not good, though? That's the other thing.
You think he's going to be good?
No. But, I mean, I didn't think Giannis was going to be MVP. Only you did. And that's why you're $500 richer, $600.
If Giannis wasn't on the Bucks, would Thanasis be a Buck?
No.
If Giannis wasn't in the league, would Thanasis be in the league?
I mean, if Rodman wasn't a Bull, would Jack Haley have been a Bull? I mean, you need, like, everybody needs a gopher, though. Everybody does. And so Giannis is, just happens to be his brother. Who knows? Maybe Giannis makes his brother a better player. Giannis has the probably the best work ethic
still,
in the NBA.
Still. He is the 15th guy on a 15-man bench.
Right. He'll be in street clothes most of the time. So what's it matter?
And you know, if you want to say, oh, sports talk radio, okay, all they do is argue about who the fourth string cornerback's going to be for the Packers and the third string punter. You've all made that joke. That's what you're doing with the Bucks.
Right.
These guys aren't going to play. Well, let's sign someone that can impact us and help in the finals. Yeah, guess what? Bud just showed you that he's not going to go that deep, even though we thought he should in the playoffs. DJ Wilson wasn't getting run.
That's the other thing. They're really going to shorten those rotations next year in the playoffs.
Tony Snell didn't get any run.
The way Mirotić shot him out of the Eastern Conference Finals.
And you think, well, those guys are they're not good. They were 8, 9, 10 on the depth chart. And we're going to sit here and argue about 14, 15? If we want to be mad as Bucks fans, and I'll lead the charge on this one, we should be mad that they completely messed up that trade exception that they should have got with Malcolm Brogdon. So with that trade, they should have got, like, basically a $10 million exception. Mm-hmm. So when you're trading contracts this season, you have to, in the NBA, you have to match contracts. You have to get those to match. That was the big thing with why it was so hard for the Lakers to bring in Anthony Davis, and they had to ship a bunch of scrubs to a third team to make all the contracts work. But these exceptions you get as sort of like a relief when you lose a guy in that free agency like you lost Malcolm Brogdon. So you had this $10 million, $12 million, it was double-digit plus trade exception, and so the Bucks could have theoretically traded a guy that makes $2 million for a guy that makes 12. All right? So that trade exception was there, and they screwed it up to make sure that George Hill got more money now than in the third year of his contract, and Brooke Lopez got more money now than in the third year of his contract. That's what John Horst said to Eric Name in the Q&A that just got posted that they did the other day. And Eric Name did a great job of that. You guys don't think that Eric Name asked hard questions? He asked a lot of hard questions. He asked about that. He asked about, why did you sign Thanasis? He asked all that kind of stuff. He said, why don't you go over the luxury tax? He asked all that kind of stuff. We're going to sit here and argue over the 14th and 15th guy when there's other things that we did, we, the Bucks, that were a bigger mistake.
Right. Right now, you're just filling out the roster with best available options. And let's face it, there's not a whole lot of them out there. So why not get a guy with championship experience? Like I said, I understood why people got upset about the J.R. Smith thing. But I'm with you where I think, I mean, what's it hurt? You know, maybe he comes over, shoots 37%, 40% from three. Awesome. You're barely ever going to use him. Same with Giannis's brother. I don't really care. What I do care about was the extension to Eric Bledsoe, because I still don't know that you can win a championship or compete for a championship with George Hill and Eric Bledsoe. I still feel like you're going to have to rely way too much on George Hill in the playoffs. And I really like George Hill, but, I mean, the point guard position, pretty important, we see in the NBA, and everybody's upgraded, all the contenders. And I just don't know. I still don't trust Eric Bledsoe come playoff time. I trust him in the regular season if he has a year like he did last year. We saw that in Phoenix, too. He shows up in the regular season. It's a whole other game in the playoffs. So that's more what I'd be angry about. Or not even angry. There's nothing to be angry about. You won 60 games. You're angry about the way the season ended, losing four straight games to the Raptors when you had it lost two straight or three straight all season long. But, yeah, I'm with you. People get upset about the wrong things.
One guy on Twitter responds, "We're bored, so we're finding something to be angry about." That's fair. All right.
We
that's
can relate.
Fair. If you're a Bucks fan and you're we can relate. We talked about the 2014 NFC Championship game this week. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvat is here. Nick Bodie is here. Chuck Freeman will be here on Monday. We'll talk some Brewers, recap the weekend with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Adam McKelvey to join us around 8 a.m. That's on Monday's show. Coming up, we're going to talk to Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, talk some NFL. Big Ten Media Day yesterday. He was down there in Chicago. Ross Tucker, one of our Radio.com NFL insiders, will join us at 8 a.m. Ross arguing for the 18-game schedule in the NFL, if they propose that truly. We'll get his thoughts on that. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have post-game show meets the morning show as Tim and Billy and me and Horvat will have a nice little commercial-free round table. J.R. Smith in town yesterday. Bucks fans at odds with each other. Where does Ram on the north side fall in the argument? 799-1250. Ram! What's up, Ram?
The regulators are back.
What's up, my regulator friend?
Yeah, man. Hey, man. I'm with Ryan on this. I just don't see the Bucks duplicating last season. I just don't think in basketball, personally, I'm just saying personally, you know, what I've seen in the NBA, we're almost going on course 45, 46 years, you're not going to win the same way. I mean, you got scouts, teams going to play you different. And everybody know how to play Giannis now. So if you don't put these shooters around him, we're in trouble. So just like we lost those four in a row, the sophomore slump, it could be worse.
I'm arguing that J.R. Smith is the 14th guy on the roster. You think he would get serious run in a playoff run?
I say this. As a shooter, who's the better shooter that the Bucks got right now over J.R. Smith? Just clutch.
They definitely need some shooters.
Okay, I'm going to ask you right now. Middleton is not the ticket. He's just not. And he's proven that. He's been here six years. So he hasn't had but one 20-plus season in a losing season. So you're talking about a guy who can probably come off the bench and probably get you 15, 16, and can hit clutch shots. Like, we need somebody to hit clutch shots. See, we had nobody hit clutch shots against the Raptors, and they just drilled us. They drilled it. And we got, everybody saw that, Bart. So it's not nothing spectacular. My problem with it is this, Bart. Of all those free agents out there, we didn't make a play to get nobody. So I don't know if we're going to talk about this whole duo thing. So we got Giannis. Who is his duo partner?
Yeah, do you see when people go through – I saw Rachel Nichols have this tweet from the jump. She goes, look at the NBA right now. It's Harden Westbrook. It's Paul George Kawhi.
Right.
It's Curry and Clay. It's
LeBron. Why do you think we didn't go after nobody?
It's LeBron AD. And then they go, and then she goes, and the MVP is in Milwaukee.
Right.
No, there's no mention for anybody else. I don't know. I don't know that they could have gone after anybody else.
No, but you got to try, though. My whole thing, just try. The fan base want to see you try. Try to put something together. Go over the luxury. See, the Bucks are going to have to go over the luxury tax to win. When we won,
I agree with that.
We didn't got Oscar. When the Packers won the first one, the Wild Wolves, they got Reggie White. The way the Bucks do with this draft and develop and then getting these older players, that's not what's going to happen. And you got to look at those teams in the East have gotten better. These teams in the East, they're not going to walk through the East. I don't see that.
Who got better, though?
I'm going to say Miami's gotten better. The Nets got better. Definitely the Pacers have gotten better. And Pacers, I'm going to tell you, they're going to have a problem with the Pacers because you saw and I saw, they can't stay in front of Victor Oladipo. Who in that roster in the backcourt can stay in front of Victor Oladipo? Bart, I saw one game, he had 10 rebounds and 2 block shots. He blocked Middleton's shot like 2 times. A guard, 6'4", 6'5", guard. So what I'm saying is, we had a chance to go up there with 10 free agents. Well, maybe 3 of them probably didn't have a chance. But at least try to put a deal together to get something. But look at the guy who you paid or the 2 players that you paid. Okay, I'll say this. The 2 players that the Bucks paid, when you look at the Twitter feed on y'all thing, there's more fans that was against the signing of both of them that was then for them.
For Middleton and Bledsoe?
Yes.
Yeah.
So going into the season, Bart, you got to be real about it. You can't. It's not 60 wins. I say we're going to struggle to get 45 to 50.
Now, I don't know if we'll get 60 wins. I don't think they're going to recreate because I don't think they're going to try to get 60 wins again. Ram, thanks for the call. 799-1250. But I do think that the Bucks should have a relatively easy time in the East. I mean, I don't know how much better the Pacers got. They got Oladipo back, but they also lost some pieces. I'm not as high as Malcolm Brogdon for them as they are. Well, who is? They said it was the most epic day in franchise history. So we'll see. Again, we'll see, but I think the Bucks should – I don't think a lot of teams got better in the East, and the teams that did get better, they're at the bottom still, like the Bulls.
Right.
the Nets, but they don't have Durant. Until you give them Durant, then...
Well, we'll see what Philadelphia looks like. Also, we'll see maybe Boston. I expect Boston to be better, which is crazy because 2 years ago I predicted them to win the finals last year, but I just feel like with Kyrie Irving gone, you bring in Kemba, you're going to give up a lot of points. They're not going to be better defensively, but I feel like that's more of a Brad Stevens team that's... He's able to coach, whereas Kyrie Irving, I don't know how coachable he is at this point of his career after winning the title.
Chuck and Winkler here, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. He's 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're going to talk to Eric Edholm coming up, Yahoo Sports. He is covering the NFL, does a lot of NFL draft stuff, and was at Big Ten Media Day yesterday. Jim Harbaugh making some waves on a radio show. He'll be speaking to reporters today. Jim Harbaugh on Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been.
All right, so that little clip from Jim Harbaugh has a lot of people riled up saying, hey, you couldn't beat Urban Meyer. Why are you taking shots at Urban Meyer after he left? But still, there's a little bit of the back and forth between Michigan and Ohio State, which leads us to our question today for your chance at a four-pack of tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair. What non-Wisconsin sports rivalry are you the most caught up in? Non-Wisconsin. No Badgers, no Marquette, no Packers, no Bucks, no Brewers. Non-Wisconsin rivalry are you the most caught up in? The Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, for me, guys, doesn't do much for me. I don't get that into it. I don't like how they, like, won't refer to the other team. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance around it. I don't personally get into it as much as I might enjoy watching some of the other rivalries. The rivalry I like everything NFC East. I know it gets jammed down our throats, but I like watching the Giants and the Cowboys. I like watching the Eagles and the Giants. I like watching the Redskins and Philly. I do get into those NFC East battles. 3 o'clock, Fox, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. They jam it down our throat, and I swallow the whole thing.
I'm fine with that. I hate that it's on Sunday Night Football all the time, or when it leads off the season, I'm not the biggest fan. My favorite rivalry is Duke Carolina, and I know most people are sick of that one, too, but Duke Carolina I always get up for. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so the Michigan rivalry and the USC rivalry I like as well.
Bodie, you got one outside of the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I got to say the big one for me growing up was Brady versus Manning. I mean, I guess it was technically Patriots-Colts because for about 10 years, that was must-see TV. I remember like the 07 year when they were both 10-0 and they met really late in the season and that kind of determined the AFC. So I would say that and also the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry because I'm a big college football guy.
Anthony says Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Now that could be... baseball, that could be football.
I'm thinking he means football. Bengals.
You thinking he means Steelers, Bengals instead of Pirates, Reds?
Yeah, I'm going to say that he's probably leaning towards the NFL.
Or the University of Pittsburgh versus the University of Cincinnati?
They don't play.
Patriots versus Roger Goodell is from Chester. Sting versus the NWO is from Byron.
Austin McMahon. If we're going to go wrestling, is the greatest rivalry of all time. Or Michaels and Bret Hart, since they really did hate each other for a while.
Scott says Raiders versus Chargers. He says, I lived in San Diego for a long time. As intense as Bears-Packers can be, I don't think anyone has had an ear bitten off. He tweets this article, fans of the Raiders and Chargers have gone over the line. In 96, a Raider fan bit off part of a Chargers fan ear. In 99, a Charger fan was stabbed by a Raider fan during a game at San Diego. I was at a game in San Diego when the Packers played there. And then 3 days later, it was a Thursday night game between Oakland and San Diego. And I was telling some of the locals, I said, I might extend this vacation and go to two games in 1 week. And they say, you cannot do that.
Why?
You can absolutely not be here. You will get mauled. What happens is the San Diego stadium was so far away that there was only really one way to get there. And that's by their train. And then, so what would happen is all the Oakland fans and all the Chargers fans would be on the same train in close quarters. So after a game, when you're like yelling at the other team, y'all spread your own ways. But all these guys would then get into the same bus and the same train, and then they would just continue the fight. It gets bad. This ear bite off, this Charger fan stabbed. I mean, I think that's the mild stuff from some of the other stuff I've heard.
Yeah, if we're going to go ear biting, I also have to throw Tyson Holyfield. in there because I remember we ordered that fight and I was excited and I was like,
how old were you? You're like 8.
No, I was like 10 years old, I want to say.
Because we ordered it and I was in 6th grade.
Yeah, I was young. I was young. I remember being excited for it and then he bit his ear twice.
Actually. We all had to give $5 to Mike. It was at Mike's house. And then we taped it so we could watch it later.
Oh, really?
I think I still have the VHS of Tyson Holyfield.
And then all of a sudden a brawl just breaks out. And that was the problem towards the end of Tyson's career is because my dad and I was a kid. I mean, I was really young watching Tyson when he used to just knock guys out in like 5 seconds. And I was convinced he was the greatest fighter of all time. He was going to be a better fighter than Ali and that he would never lose. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he got goofy. And he signed on with Don King, and that was the end of his career. And then you had the Holyfield thing. And then every fight, like, he would come back. He would try to make this epic comeback. He'd fight this no-namer. And it would, you know, the guy would go down with, like, a sprained ankle in the second round. So his fights never finished. There was always controversy, always people brawling in the stands. And that was, like, kind of the end of me ordering boxing matches. Him, Lennox Lewis for a while after that I liked to watch. Now it's like, who do you watch? Who do you care about in boxing?
I watch Pacquiao Mayweather.
Oh, I watched that too. That was the worst fight I've ever paid for. I paid for that one too. I had buddies over and I didn't charge anybody. I never wanted to be that guy. Like, if I'm getting the fight, just bring some beers and bring some food. That one I wanted to charge everybody because that was the biggest waste of my time. And it was supposed to be such an epic day, I remember, because you had the Derby. Remember, it was the same day as the Kentucky Derby and Game 7 of the, oh man, it was Game 7 between... Was it Spurs? Man, I don't remember who it was. Spurs Clippers Game 7.
Okay,
because I remember Chris Paul and Tim Duncan hugging on the court. So you had that a Game 7 that went like double overtime or something like that. The Kentucky Derby. Then it's time for the main event. That was the worst fight. Nobody hit anybody.
Yeah, I was 12 for Tyson Holyfield. I said, Dad, I need $5 to go to Mike's house to watch boxing, and he looked at me like, what reality am I in?
Right.
You've never talked about boxing in your life. $5.
This one I have to see.
And you have friends?
This one I do have to see. The worst part is it, like the guys that defend boxing too. Like, oh, that was great. That's a Mayweather fight right there. He doesn't need to hit anybody. It's the sweet science. I'm like, that's boring. I want to see somebody get knocked out.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Hopefully the Packers start knocking some people out this year. We'll talk to a couple guys to see if our prediction of an NFC North championship is just us being homers. Eric Edholm coming up. Yahoo Sports, Ross Tucker, Radio.com, NFL Insider, 8 o'clock. It's all on the way. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath is here. Chuck will be back on Monday. We talked a lot of Green Bay Packers yesterday as we continue to ramp up to training camp, which starts next Thursday. And I would say, Horvath, you and I may be more optimistic than the average Packer fan because we do think, even with a new head coach, they can get back on top of the NFC North and then maybe even go a little further. The age-old question, do you have Aaron Rodgers? I mean, as long as the answer is yes, I still think that we can mock that question, but if the answer is yes, then they're in contention. Now that's assuming you get a better version of Aaron Rodgers than we had last year. But we seem to think that the Packers are going to do well in the NFC North. It seems like other people that cover the league seem to think that they're going to do in the NFC North. Yet when we promote, hey, we're going to talk a little bit about this online, it's, you guys are idiots. They're going to suck. We'll be lucky to be 500. So we'll bring in Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, Eric_Edholm on Twitter. Eric, that's the first thing we'll ask you. Are we homers or are we smart, objective football broadcasters for believing that the Green Bay Packers can once again win the NFC North?
Oh, come on. They're a 4-12 team, you guys. Come on. Listen a bit. No. Yeah, no. I mean, look, I'm a little bit shocked that there hasn't been a – I don't know. There hasn't been a little bit more sort of assumption that they're going to bounce back. Look, I know it's tricky with a first-year head coach. You really don't know. You just, some guys come in, they're really good. Some guys come in, they're underprepared. They're a year behind. It's hard to know coming off what I thought was a subpar season for Matt LaFleur as coordinator of the Titans. what he's going to do. But the talent, I think, is, and I think he could be a good head coach. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. Guys have bad years just like players do, you know. But I'm just a little bit surprised, even in a tough division and a tricky division to project too, right, because you could probably pick three teams to win it, that there isn't a little bit more widespread optimism about what the Packers can do this year.
Eric, do you think that LaFleur should feel pressure to win year one? The talk around here locally is that this is a 2 to 3 year window with Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers not getting any younger. You look at what he's making. You look at the fact that he's one of the favorites to possibly win an MVP this year. Do you think LaFleur should feel the pressure season one, or is this more of a 2 to 3 year plan?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen first-year head coaches get fired, right? I mean, obviously, if the joke that I made coming in 4-12, if that happened, boy, I don't know that he'd get fired, but I don't know that he'd feel too comfortable either. I don't think he'd be buying land in upper Wisconsin somewhere. So, yeah, I think there is pressure to win, but it's like I don't know what the floor would be. It would probably be something really, really disastrous for him to have to lose his job. So, depending on how you define that pressure, I guess that's what I would say. But you know, he comes in. He wasn't the expected choice, I don't think, locally or nationally. I think he's, you know, anytime you're a first-year head coach who, he hasn't come out of nowhere, because it's like when the Falcons got to the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people recognized he was part of that thing. You know, for the last couple years, his name has been in there and, you know, in the mix with Shanahan and McVay and everybody, those trees. But you know, he's still coming in as a real unknown quantity in a lot of ways. I guess like what Matt Nagy was for the Bears last year.
Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, joining us here. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. That's Ryan Horvath. I'm Bart Winkler. To win the NFC North, obviously, you'd have to beat those other three teams. I think for the most part, everybody's kind of in the same where they've always been, at least recently. The Lions are going to underperform. The Vikings, the Vikings are a team that I think's gotten more love than they should have in the last 3 years on defense. And then the Kirk Cousins situation, I don't think he's that good. The Bears are interesting because the defense is good. And then you've got Mitch Trubisky, who, I'll tell you what Packer fans do, Eric, is they look at Mitch Trubisky and they think Jay Cutler. And that's unfair to Mitch Trubisky. But then I go see these MVP odds where he's like 20-1 and top 10 guy. And I think that's unfair to Vegas. That there's no way Mitch Trubisky can put together an MVP candidacy. Or is that, again, me being a homer?
No, he'll never be that quarterback, I don't think. But he's better than people give him credit for in some respects. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm here in Chicago. I'm not a Bears fan. I root for all 32 teams. But I saw a lot of him last year. And there were moments where he said, man, if he could just keep doing that, you know, that throw, that series, that drive, that quarter, whatever, it just never felt he put the perfect four quarters together. And that worries you, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing where you say, look, you play the Arizona Cardinals, you play the Miami Dolphins. At some point, you should have one of those type of games. Now, he had the Bucs game was probably his best, but other than that, I can't think of too many games where you said, wow, Mitch was brilliant today. So that's where it keeps me from saying he's ever going to be a quality quarterback. But Allen Robinson, back second year with the team. Anthony Miller looked really good at times, playing through a bad, bad shoulder injury. It popped out of his socket like 9 times. So if he's healthy, he's going to be a good player. They add Montgomery. They add a lot of pieces. A lot of continuity back on offense. So I think could hum a little bit. I don't say, you know, I still think they have a chance to score some points this year.
I think the loss of Vic Fangio is going to be bigger than most people
Absolutely.
Think. And and they also stayed really healthy last year. Am I crazy to think that losing a coordinator is that big of a deal? I see him more of as a head coach in that locker room, especially with a first-year head coach, well, second now under Matt Nagy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Vic is a huge loss. I mean, look, from a schematic standpoint, sure, and I'm not knocking Chuck Pagano, but yes, no doubt about it. He knew those players. He groomed a lot of them, too. They added a couple pieces, you know, as they went along. Khalil Mack was the most dominant of the group. But still, I mean, he was like the final piece. He was the one thing they didn't have, which was that consistent edge rusher. But, yeah, here are the three things that suggest the Bears are going to regress this year. You mentioned, obviously, the injuries. Until late in the year, you know, they lost Mitch for 2 games, lost Eddie Jackson for the playoff game, like, there were a handful of injuries. That's about it. They were one of the healthiest teams in football. Number two, they had the 31st easiest schedule last year. I mean, they did not play the schedule in terms of opponents' win percentage. The third one is turnovers. They had a billion of them. And turnovers don't translate year to year. You know, I mean, there are very few defenses who are great takeaway defenses, the old Lovie Smith defenses, the Bucks, you know, from the 20 years ago. But you typically don't see a team create that many turnovers two or three years in a row. So I feel like it could be a 9-7 team and it wouldn't shock me. They could be 8-8 and it wouldn't stun me.
Eric Edholm joining us, Yahoo Sports. Defensively with Green Bay, it's going to be the second year of Mike Pettine. They've brought a lot of pieces in. They don't have a star like a Khalil Mack, but I think they've got a lot of guys, especially up front, that it can be sort of a real group effort. Where do you look at the Packers defensively? Can they be a top 10 defense, something that Aaron Rodgers like never has?
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking at, is if they can be on the edge of that top 10. I mean, that's really where, you know, what does that mean? Are we talking about defense that plays great in the red zone, that's great on third down, that's great in terms of causing turnovers? I like to see them be great at one of those things, right? And just sort of above average to average in the other facets. So I'm high on Jair Alexander. I think he's going to be one of the top corners in the league. Mike Daniel, I think, still has some years in his prime left. The additions they added to the edge spots, look, that's a lot of power and a lot of force up front. So, you know, Kenny Clark, I mean, there's still a lot to build around there, and I think it's an emerging unit.
Eric Edholm joining us, Yahoo Sports, Eric_Edholm on Twitter. Appreciate it, Eric. We'll be in touch.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Eric joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. Do want to take this time to remind you that if you're out for a fish fry today, Perkins is the place to stop after 11 o'clock. You can get a fish fry with all the fix-ins, as they say, after 11 o'clock for $10.99. Now, tomorrow at Perkins, kids eat free after 4. Tuesdays and Saturdays, when you head out to Perkins, kids eat free after 4 o'clock. You are going to want to be inside somewhere comfortable, inside somewhere with air conditioning. And that is going to be Perkins all weekend for you. The weather advisory is in at Perkins. It will be cool. It will be comfortable with a chance, 100% chance, of kids eating free. When you get a meal, they will get a free kids meal. They do that every Tuesdays and Saturdays. Now, what should you get? Well, the cool thing about Perkins is if you want some eggs Benedict at 5 o'clock at night, you can do that. You can get their lunch options. You can also get their shrimp. Lee, the best menu items, 6 different coastal-inspired items starting at just $7.99. That is at Perkins. One thing that we're also looking forward to next week, Horvat, you've got the training camp stuff opening up on Thursday. The NFL Network is going to start their top 100 on Monday night. So each year during the offseason, you run through the top 100 players. And why this is different is because it's voted on by the players. And why I'm a little more interested in this year is because I want to see where the players still put Aaron Rodgers. Now, he will be a top 100 guy. There's no doubt about that. But I want to see where the players put Aaron Rodgers, because if you use the one set of ratings that came out this week in Madden, he took a little bit of a hit. He was still a top 100 guy, but he took a little bit of a hit right kind of in the 50s, the 60s. Where do you expect the players after last year to rank Aaron Rodgers among all the players in the NFL?
Top 5 still. It's even the guys with the big mouths, the Jalen Ramsey, when he's doing the interview with GQ and he's dumping on every other quarterback. Nobody dumps on Aaron Rodgers. Josh Norman, even the outspoken guys on the defensive side of the ball, everybody compliments Aaron Rodgers because he's so physically gifted and talented. And everybody knows what's been going on in Green Bay. Not only just the guys in that locker room, but everybody around the league knows that that was a mess the last couple of years under Mike McCarthy. I mean, don't get me started on the Dom Capers, the Ted Thompson era. So I feel like he's still going to be top 5, at the lowest, top 10. Maybe 9 or 10.
Your top 5, according to Madden. So, again, the Madden rankings. And if you look at through the Madden rankings, the top 100, there's a lot of offensive linemen in here that I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to know everybody in the NFL. I follow the draft. I play every fantasy league possible. I'm in fantasy leagues where you do defense. There's no way to do a fantasy league with offensive linemen. So some of these guys, look, I'm sorry. I don't know much about. There was a guy on the Raiders on here that I'd never heard of. Let's see. And now I'm actually looking at some of these guys I have heard of them. Mitchell Schwartz, I've heard of from the Chiefs.
Yep.
Marshall Yanda, I've heard of from the Ravens.
Quentin Nelson on there.
Joe Staley, I've heard of. Okay, all right. So for the most part. Oh, no. Yeah, okay, whatever. That point is moot. I'm a mess. But you look at the top five, it's Aaron Donald, it's DeAndre Hopkins, it's Khalil Mack, Bobby Wagner, Antonio Brown.
Understandable.
You put Aaron Rodgers in that mix?
I don't know that I have Antonio Brown in that mix right now just because of that offseason. He's kind of a mess, right? And I don't know what his fit's going to be in that system.
If you extend it out to the top 10, it's Julio Jones, Luke Kuechly, David Bakhtiari.
Understandable.
Who was a 97 rating in Madden.
Makes sense.
Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Who I know you're down on.
I don't trust that knee.
I don't think the Rams trust that knee.
Right. Had to go out and...
And then
50-pound
Patrick Mahomes would be the top-rated quarterback.
And so that's the issue I have. I love Patrick Mahomes. And, I mean, the year that he had last year was ridiculous. But I just – I don't see how you rate him. I guess I shouldn't say that.
Do you think the – I think the players will buy into Patrick Mahomes.
I think so, too. But
Patrick Mahomes was making throws that we've seen Rodgers and we've seen Favre make.
Yeah.
But when Patrick Mahomes did it, it was like it was the first time it ever happened. And the whole league forgot about Brett Favre and forgot about Aaron Rodgers.
I was watching a game in...
And Patrick Mahomes says he models his game after Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I was watching Texas Tech in Oklahoma, and you're watching... And this is a couple years back, and I'm watching Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield play against each other. And I was like, man, both of these guys are going to be studs. And I remember at one point in that game, Mahomes rolling to his left and throwing a dart to his right, like 70 yards down the field. And then I said, I think only Aaron Rodgers... can make that throw, Brett Favre. And so I saw something special there, and you saw it all year last year. But he also lost his two, well, he lost one of his top skill position players, and I don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. Unfortunately, I think they're still going to allow him to play football. I think he should be in prison, personally. But so I think we may be a little high on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I don't think they win 10.5 games. I'm taking the under on that. I think Mahomes is still going to be really good. But I don't know if he could duplicate what he did last year.
Here's the quarterbacks ahead of Rodgers in Madden. I want you to tell me if you think the players will rate this person over Rodgers.
Okay.
Because the NFL Top 100 is going to be unveiled starting Monday. They're going to go 10 guys each night until they get to 100. So Patrick Mahomes, will the players put Rodgers over Mahomes?
I don't know. I
think they will.
I think they will. But, I mean, if you're going off of career... That's the thing. Like, you're going to put Mahomes over Aaron Rodgers,
but you
because
go,
of one
it's
year?
Top 100 right now.
Ah, man. I know.
I think the players will go Mahomes over Rodgers.
That would be like going RG3 over Andrew Luck because RG3's rookie season, he had 22 touchdowns and 5 picks or whatever. I mean, he looked like he was going to be a Hall of Famer, and then the next year he's got a torn ACL and he's a bust. Yeah, okay, I'll go Mahomes. They're probably going to go Mahomes over Rodgers, yeah.
Brady's next. I think the NFL players who have all been beaten by Tom Brady will put him over Aaron Rodgers.
You have to.
Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees.
Phillip Rivers, absolutely not.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I have to interject here. Who from the Madden developers is a giant Chargers fan? Like, no one loves Melvin Gordon more than me. He's a 92 overall. He's the fourth best running back in the game. Phillip Rivers is like a 93. He's the third.
Melvin Gordon deserves his 92.
The Chargers are way overrated, though, dude. They got Austin Eckler.
Keenan Allen was bitching about his rating.
He's an 89, and I think that's low, but Rivers is way high.
Keenan Allen bitching about the ratings was the best thing I've seen this year. When he's like, I got 52 strength like a little boy. That was the best part of the whole clip. I don't see how you go Phillip Rivers. A couple years ago, Phillip Rivers was like an 85 in that game. No. He's got himself in a good system. Their defense is great. He's got a running game. There's no way I rate Phillip Rivers. If you want to go Drew Brees, I disagree with it, and I could give you 50 reasons why. I'm not going to spend the next hour doing that. But that's more understandable to me than Phillip Rivers being rated over Aaron Rodgers.
Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson.
Stop.
That's who is ahead of Rodgers. Will the players, these are the Madden ratings,
right.
Will the players put them ahead?
15 months ago, we were questioning whether Andrew Luck would ever throw a football again. He had a great year, he was protected for the first time ever in his career, because that was the thing with Andrew Luck, is he's always had the talent, but he's taken a beating since he's came into the league because the Colts decided to pay him all this money and gave him absolutely no offensive line until they realized, hey, let's use some of these first-round picks, go get ourselves Nelson out of Notre Dame, and they helped him out with the offensive line, gave him a couple skill position players. Russell Wilson, absolutely not. I think Russell Wilson had a huge year because the first 3 years of his career, I said, that's a system quarterback. I want to see what Russell Wilson does when they have to pay him, and they can't afford to pay guys like Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, etc. And last year, he individually took the Seahawks to the playoffs. He pulled an Aaron Rodgers last year and proved that he could carry a team to the playoffs. But
yeah, he changed my opinion on him last year. Russell Wilson did. He did. The top 100 for Madden ratings included four Packers: Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Devontae Adams, and Kenny Clark. The guys that just missed the cut would be Adrian Amos and then Mike Daniels. So we'll see four, maybe five. We'll see how many Packers get in. Again, these are voted on by the players, and that will start to be unveiled on Monday night on the NFL Network. And as the list keeps coming out, we'll bring you where they are, and we'll try to figure out, you know, the further along that we don't hear Rodgers' name, the better, because they will go through 10-1 on Wednesday the 31st. We'll talk to Ross Tucker about a little of this, former NFL player, now one of our radio.com NFL insiders. We always love having him on. We'll talk to him about this, about the Green Bay Packers, and Ross writing an article this week that says, don't be sleeping on that 18-game schedule. That could be more advantageous to the players than we initially assumed. So that coming up all next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. We'll also get back into the Brewers. A little bit of a roundtable coming up 9:30. Myself, Horvath, Tim Allen, Bill Schmid, as the Brewers get a 5-1 win last night. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.